The following program is part of the Inner Circle Podcasting Group. Go to innercirclecomics.com for more high-quality podcasts.
Doom Patrol. Negative Man. Elastigirl. Robot Man.
Someone wants the Doom Patrol reunited.
Your every word and action is being broadcast across the planet.
Now, Monsieur Mana!
Well done, my Doom Patrol. Well done.
It is too late for you, Kaldao. Your beloved patrol is doomed.
Hello, and welcome to Waiting for Doom, the podcast that's a magnet, a touchstone, a frickin' lightning rod to attract fans of the strangest heroes in comics, the inimitable and awesome Doom Patrol.
Well put. I'm Mike, and you can find me on Twitter, at AvantGarv. You can also find Wilfred, the Sentient Show Twitter account, which is at WFDPod.
And I'm Paul, and you can find me on Twitter at reading_hix, and you can email us at waitingfordoom@gmail.com, on Facebook, and our episode is available on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, and podbean.com. This week, we're freaking out in excitement because the Doom Magnet has attracted a big-time comic creator.
That's right. We're joined by Christopher Sabella, writer of Ghost for Dark Horse.
Writer of Escape from New York, comic from Boomtown.
Dead Letters from Boom.
Aliens vs. Predator, Fire and Stone from Dark Horse.
And High Crimes from Monkey Brain. Is there anything else we've missed, Chris?
No, not as important as those. So you got them all.
Excellent.
I got to say, Chris, I was really excited when you found out that you're a Doom Patrol fan because I've been a bit of a fan of your writing on High Crimes. I heard an interview about Monkey Brain Comics and the books they were releasing, and as soon as I heard Everest Thriller, I was on board.
Yeah. Well, I was just as excited to hear that somebody's like actively doing a podcast about Doom Patrol. Like, I don't get enough chances to talk about it in my life, so.
Same here. That's why we started doing this.
You did it. You filled the gap.
That's right. We found that niche.
And also, and just to get my credit in, I had a letter published in High Crimes number 3.
You did?
Ooh.
That was before we just shelved the whole idea, because doing letter columns is a pain in the butt. So. Rare air.
How lucky are you, Paul?
Pretty lucky. Is there anything else you want to plug, Chris, about work that's upcoming or things that you got in the hopper?
Yeah, I just had a book announced last week coming up from Boom. It's a creator-owned book I'm doing with Jonathan Brandon Sawyer called Welcome Back.
Yes.
Or alternately, We Come Back. And it's a story about reincarnation and this war that's sort of been happening since the birth of human consciousness, involving reincarnated soldiers who are basically chasing each other life after life, just sort of killing each other over and over in pursuit of, you know, some greater goal. So that starts coming out in August. The High Crimes trade comes out in July, which is, it's the whole book, all 12 issues. It's super fancy hardcover from Dark Horse. And it's like, in American money, it's a $20 hardcover. So I'm not sure how that translates, but it's cheap for what you get. So, and that's the book, you know, I'm like most proud of. So I'm trying to really bang the drum for that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, no, it's a fantastic book. I love it. So, fellas, how was your week in comics? Chris?
Yeah, mine was, I don't know. I've been trying to mostly get work done, so I haven't. The biggest like deficit to working in comics is just that like my opportunity to read comics is really nosedived. So this week I read that first issue of the new Frank Barbieri, Chris Peterson book that's coming out from Boom in July. It's called Broken World.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And it's, it's a really, like, I'm really excited to see where it goes from here, because it's not, I mean, it's, you know, it's a story about the end of the world, but it's like, I don't know, It's more on par with The Leftovers than, you know, Mad Max, say. it's like they're actually doing like a sort of character piece drama thing that's happening, while people are being airlifted off the planet and all sorts of, it's all sorts of doom and gloom, which is totally up my alley. So, tomorrow, the first issue of The Mantle comes out that Ed Brisson wrote and Brian Level drew. And it's like a superhero book. They're doing it Image.
Mm-hmm.
And I've read the first issue of that, and it's really, really good. So that is my that was my sneak preview at my week in comics.
Cool.
And then, I scanned some Doom Patrol this afternoon in anticipation of being on the show.
Doing homework, very impressive.
Which is funny because I was going back over the issues of High Crimes that I've got on my iPad before the show.
Work.
Excellent.
What about you, Mike?
My week, it was okay for comics. Descender number 3 came out, which is a gorgeous book, all watercolor stuff, and excitement and intrigue about robots that may or may not have caused the doom of mankind. That was cool. And the first issue of the Swords of Sorrow crossover from Dynamite, that came out. That was good fun. What else was there? Oh, issue 16 of Zero came out as well. And that's... I'm missing something with that book. it's a bit over my head, I think. Yeah.
Some complexity in the storytelling? Or?
It's a bit out there. But it was an interesting read, so I won't begrudge it that. How about you, Paul? What did you get up to this week?
Well, I caught up on an old trade. I read the final All-Star Western trade, which is finishes the recent run about Jonah Hex.
Oh, yeah.
And that was really good. It was the volume before was a corker. That was the one where Jonah Hex came to the modern day and ended up in Arkham Asylum and got plastic surgery to fix his face. And then he basically got the blues in the modern day and wanted to go back. And he picked up this girl who was tagging along with him, and she wanted to go back with him. And so this volume opens with them in the Old West again, and she immediately gets injured in a battle and gets sick and dies, which is quite unusual.
Wow. Good time.
And then he hooks up with his old flame Tallulah Black, and it really ends the Jonah Hex saga, which was basically started before the New 52. It's just been continued on as if nothing happens. So a good run, that one. I really recommend the entire run.
Okay.
That's by Jimmy Palmiotti and Mick Gray, so with fantastic art throughout. Darwin Cook drew the last issue and some of the covers. Fantastic stuff.
Cool.
And apart from that, looking at the previews of those DC books coming after Convergence, and very excited by the return of Section 8. So the Section 8 preview was all devoted to Dogwelder, which, one of the great heroes of comics that no one knows about.
Not yet, anyway. Yeah.
Ticking?
What's that ticking? As you can see,
smooth tonight, aren't we?
Yeah, we're really smooth and professional and shit. Anyway, what's that ticking noise, Paul?
It sounds like the bloody doom clock.
Bloody doom clock. So looking at the doom clock, we can see that not a lot of change. The last issue of the team's own book was issue 22 in volume 5 from July of 2011. So that's still 3 years and just over 9 months ago. The last appearance... I know. Get it out, Paul. Get it out. The last appearance of the team was back in October of 2014 in Justice League number 33. So just over 6 months ago. But this week in Doom Patrol history, we go way, way back to 1968, which saw the release of Doom Patrol number 120, which went on sale for a mere US 12 cents. Good God. this was actually the penultimate issue of the first run of the Doom Patrol proper, and it was titled The Rage of the Wrecker.
Wow, and, what does the Wrecker do?
Well, he wrecks things. And on the cover, there's a poor old Cliff. He's been wrecked, completely wrecked. His body's been dismantled once again. But basically, the Wrecker was out to destroy all modern technology by means of ray bombardments from his base in outer space. And so Robot Man got wrecked, and the Chief spent the issue transplanting his brain into several different robot bodies, including a rebuilt RA-2 from way back when. Your favorite replacement robot ball. and while all that was going on, Mento, Elastigirl, Beast Boy, and his girlfriend Jillian, they got involved in a brawl at a discotheque, of course.
Wow.
Because Doom Patrol. Yeah, so apparently Cliff got to be in like a rocket robot body, a grasshopper robot body, and some flamethrower tank robot body as well. So, and that's how he and Negman defeated the Wrecker in outer space. So,
wow.
Yeah, and the next issue was the final one, where they got killed off. So
going out with a bang.
Literally, yes. Yeah. Anyway, that's it for the Doom Clock this week.
Okay, today on Doomsplaining, we're going to get a comics insider view on the Doom Patrol. So, as our very first celebrity comic creating guest star, Chris Abella, can you paint us a picture of where and when you first discovered the Doom Patrol?
I can. I think it was... So, I know precisely where I bought it. It was at... it was actually at Heroes in Charlotte.
Oh.
I was on a road trip with a friend, and he... I think he was living in Charlotte at the time. So we started our trip there. And then as we were heading out of town, we stopped at Heroes and I was looking through the back issues. And I think I remember Doom Patrol starting to come out right when I quit comics the first time. Cause I've picked up and quit comics as a habit a couple of times in my life before I finally stuck with it. So I was like, oh yeah, I remember that. And so I bought, I don't know how many issues I bought, but I know that the first in the run I bought, it was from the Grant Morrison run, and it was the issue where Monsieur Masala and the Brain are it's like their centerpiece issue, and they're trying to put the Brain inside of Cliff's robot body.
Great issue.
Yeah, and that was the very first one I ever read. I had no context to, what happened before that, but I was like, all right, I'm into this. And then the next one, I think, was, that whole weird storyline about the aliens who fight with languages.
With the Godhead, and they go off-world, but it's not like an alien battle that you see in comics normally. It's all...
Yeah, exactly. And it was so baffling to me that I was like, well, I have to track down the rest of this. And that's what I think that was basically my mission in comics at that point, was to track down, because they only had the first trade out at the time, and it didn't look like they were going to be putting out any more. So, so eventually I amassed a complete collection of the Grant Morrison run, and here I am today.
Fantastic. And what do you think makes the Doom Patrol so special to you? I mean, why does that stand out against other books?
I think it's the fact that they're part of the DC universe proper, but they're just so kind of not loathsome, but there's just I don't know. They all basically have a disdain for what they are. Whereas and they're rubbing shoulders, occasionally with Superman and stuff, people who are overwhelmingly, happy about the fact that they have these powers that can help people, and the Doom Patrol is all these powers were kind of, the one sort of bright spot of what would otherwise be, a really shitty hand to be dealt to you. It was just this sort of they just felt they didn't fit. And I think that's why I like Morrison's run so much is that he really took advantage of that, and he just started like throwing things at them that also like did not fit in this universe, and that tapped into a lot of stuff I was really into at the time, just sort of like, you know, big idea stuff and like weird conspiracy things and like the Dead Man's Hand and all these, you know, weird things. It was just kind of the perfect time for me to stumble onto that book.
It's very rich in content and not quite like everything else, is it?
Yeah. And I mean, yeah, like there's so many ideas in that book, and some of them just get like, you know, like here's two issues about this thing that like in any other book, like that would be like the main villain or something, or, you know, would be a huge thing that like they would come back to time and again. And Morrison was just like, no, all right, I'm done with that. Like, now let's deal with the apocalypse and the great book written all over his skin. And like, it was just like, there were so many rich ideas in that book, and he was just like burning through them one after another. There's something really kind of ballsy and admirable about that.
Yeah, Morrison never seemed to be scared that he wouldn't have another idea.
Yeah. And also, you know, like the, you know, and I believe it's Morrison is the one who tells the story. So, you know, grain of salt, but like that he basically, when he got the gig, like he outlined his whole run basically right from the start.
Oh, wow.
I don't know if that's true or not, but like when I was going through this afternoon, like, you know, in the very first issue of his run, like right towards the end of the issue, is, you know, while Cliff and Dr. Magnus are walking around the asylum or the psychiatric hospital, you know, one of the dudes, the patients is muttering about candles. And like, I refuse to believe that like that was just like a, that wasn't a nod to like how the whole book was going to end.
Yeah.
So, and he sees that stuff all really, really early. So yeah, it just felt like, I don't know. Like, it drives me sort of insane with jealousy. It's like being jealous that somebody you know, is a nuclear physicist. Like, there's just no way to, like, I don't know. Like, there's just, like, sometimes things just click with people and, like, everything happens. Like, there's no way to, like, shortcut to that. So, like, it feels aspirational to me. Like, I want to have that thing where, like, I give that gig and just, like, every weird offshoot idea I've ever had is, like, oh, I have a place for this, and I have a place for that, and I have a place for that. Like, and it all fits together, you know, not perfectly, but pretty close to perfectly in my book.
Have you ever met Grant Morrison?
God, no. No, I wouldn't know. I met Garth Ennis, like, 2 years ago, smoking outside of a bar at Emerald City in Seattle, and I was pretty drunk, and my friend was introducing me, and there's another dude, so he introduces me to other dude, and I shake hands, say hey, and then he goes, and this is Garth Ennis, and I couldn't stop myself. I was just like, oh shit, as I'm reaching to shake his hand, like, and then I went back to normal, but like that was like, well, this conversation is ruined for me now. Like, I can't just like hang out all casual with Garth Ennis. Like, this is the dude. So yeah, like Grant Morrison, I wouldn't like. He's the type of dude who I would like sneak glances at from across the room and be like, okay, well that's cool enough. Like,
you dare not step any closer, sort of thing.
Yeah. Because yeah, what am I gonna? I don't know. It's like, what do I say to this dude? I don't know what to say to like any of my, I try not to approach like heroes at all. Like I was saying on Twitter this afternoon, like I met Richard Case at Heroes last year.
Yeah.
And just stammered my way through it. And I was just like, I don't have any of the books with me. I didn't know you were going to be here, but like, beautiful, super important book to me. And then I like show him my tattoo and he's just like, oh, okay. Well, that's good. and I was just like, well, what do I say? Like, so, wow. so,
Well, you have to tell us about the tattoo now.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, pretty much right at the end of the first, like after I'd collected all the issues and read them all. But this was my second tattoo. But yeah, I was suddenly like, I have to get the tattoo. And the tattoo I got is the Doom Patrol symbol that Jane draws and is never officially used. But it's the circle with the Roman numeral 1 going through it. And like her ex, like about 80% of it was me getting it for the Doom Patrol. But fortunately, in that, when she unveils the logo, she gives this explanation of why she chose this logo. And it's all about, you know, ones and zeros and binary code and how everything is made up of ones. So like I had my thing built in for like this is the sliver of people I can tell, like, oh yeah, look, I got the Doom Patrol logo. And then everybody else, I would basically just like, oh yeah, it's ones and zeros and binary. Just like Crazy Jane told me how to explain it to people who don't read comics.
It's like a Transformer logo that can mean multiple things and change.
Yeah. So it's, yeah, it was, that's why I felt good about getting it. Like, it wasn't too specific to the book that, like, you know, if I, you know, I felt like, I don't know, I didn't want to be like in my 60s and be like, what the hell was I thinking getting, like, you know, Robot Man's face tattooed on my arm.
Oh, well, there goes that idea.
I'm not saying no one else should do it. I'm just saying for me personally.
Right.
I need some plausible deniability. So I think that's why it worked out perfectly for me.
So, Chris, we know you're a big fan of the Morrison run. Mm-hmm. What are your thoughts on any of the other runs in the Doom Patrol's history?
I've read some of the 60s stuff, not a lot, which I can appreciate. It's not something I'm ever like, I gotta go read that. I think there's a blind spot in my reading of comics specifically. There are just, certain eras that just like don't work for me for whatever reason. I don't know why. So yeah, I haven't read a ton of those. I went back and read like all the pre-Morrison stuff, like issues 1 through, or I don't know that I read them all, but I read, you know, as many of them as I could. Right. I can't remember who wrote, was that was Paul somebody? Kupferberg maybe?
Yes.
Yeah. Mostly I just wanted to see like, you know, what did Morrison, like what did he blow up.
Yeah.
I was like, thank God they blew this up. Like, this is totally not my cup of tea. So yeah, Morrison stuff is like the premier stuff. And then I don't know, a couple of years ago, I tried to read through the Rachel Pollack run, and it's just like, it felt too, I don't know what it was like. Like at the time when I was reading it, it was like, oh, it just feels like she's aping what Morrison did, but like in a slight way, which I don't think is fair. Because honestly, I don't know how anybody could follow up, especially back then. Like Morrison had this thing of like, you know, he'd come on a book, he'd do a thing, and then he'd walk off, and it's like, how do you follow up? How do
exactly. You follow
that? He did it with Animal too. It's like. Like, what do you do with Animal Man once you reveal that, like, you know, Grant Morrison and Animal Man meet and talk about, you know, the tragedy of comics and of writing and of the death of pets and stuff. It's like, you can't go back to, like, oh, like, suddenly Animal Man's eating meat again. it's just like, yeah, there's, you know, but I'm sure some people liked it. It's totally not me, though. So I always, you know, I always claim that like there are no issues past Morrison's last issue. That like
we've had that exact discussion on Twitter before, Chris.
Yeah. I remember thinking that about Animal Man and Doom Patrol, that they both needed to end when Grant Morrison left, and I tried the first few issues of both of them, and Yeah, it wasn't for me, but I think looking back at Rachel Pollack's run, I'm doing a bit of reading in it now, she's obviously committed to what she's writing. So, yeah. You know, she's not just imitating.
No. But yeah, at the time when I read through her stuff, I was just like, I just can't. Like, it felt like I needed to completely disconnect from Morrison stuff in order to approach hers. Like, and that's just really hard for me to do. But yeah, like, and I never read any. I didn't read the 2009 stuff, or like, yeah. I just don't know what you do with that book anymore. Like, it feels like the story was told, and like now there's like what point is there? And like, so I was going to ask you though, like, because you had mentioned on the Doom Clock they had last appeared like a year ago.
Yeah, they appeared back in Justice League back in October of last year.
On the team like in that incarnation?
Well, you had the Chief, Elastigirl, Robot Man, Negative Man, and Element Girl.
Wow,
that was a bit of a surprise.
Yeah. He's sort of cast as the Chief is cast as like an arch enemy for Lex Luthor.
Hmm.
Huh.
That's when Lex Luthor's on the Justice League after Forever Evil.
Yes.
Occasionally Evil, whatever it is.
This month we're bad guys. yeah, and they were working for the organization called Argus, which was kind of the let's patrol and monitor the superheroes in the DC verse.
Sure.
So and also Niles was not wheelchair bound, so that was a bit different.
Well, that was like post like them scrubbing everything and like starting over. So
yeah.
All right. Yeah, I just wanted to make sure I wasn't missing out on anything.
So shall we pick it up with the question, do you feel we need any more Doom Patrol stories?
Yeah, I feel like they're still useful characters. I don't know about in that incarnation, and it almost seems anathema to say this, but like it feels like there needs to be like a completely new sort of team of the Doom Patrol to really... Because it feels like everybody... And again, like, I'm just so married to the Grant Morrison arc that, like, my opinions are colored, you know, by what are now, like, 20-year-old comics, 30-year-old comics, I don't know. But, yeah, it just feels like, I don't know, like, everybody sort of had their arc. Like, I don't know what more you can do with Cliff Steele. But, like, I guess you could say the same thing about Superman, and people still manage to make him engaging, so... I mean, yeah, I feel like there's a place for them. It just feels like at the time, like, they were a lot more vital because, like, that was sort of pre, I don't know, like, pre-nerd revolution, basically. Like, like, that's when being a freak and an outcast was, like, a bad thing. And, you know, this transmutation where, like, then it became, like, sort of a badge of honor. So... Yeah, I have no idea how you would do it. Like, and I know, like, every time I've been asked, like, you know, if you can do anything you want at DC, like, my first answer is always Doom Patrol. But then if I got the job, like, I wouldn't know, like, I would just be like, well, I'm screwed. Like, like I'm totally screwed myself. Like, I don't know what I'm going to do. So yeah, I feel like, yeah, there's somebody out there can make it work. Maybe someday I can make it work, but, like, it just feels like too monumental, you know, feels like, you know, oh, go out there and write, you know, the next great American novel. it's like, yeah, no, I don't think I can do that. So.
Would you want to see the Doom Patrol translated into other media, like on a TV show or on the big screen?
No, like, I feel like they're good as comics, like, I don't know. And maybe it's a bit of a backlash on my part that, you know, it's just like everything that outside of like, especially for like TV, like I've enjoyed The Flash. I'm not a huge fan of Arrow and I really like Daredevil, but I don't know. It just feels like anything that you'd want to do with Doom Patrol would have to be, you know, sort of like big and strange, and it feels like television's not the place for that. But then, like, movies are too short to be the venue for that either, especially, you know, with, like, a team book. And I know Guardians of the Galaxy did it, but, I don't know, Doom Patrol feels heavier to me. So I'm totally cool with them just staying, like, a comics thing, like, you know, them sort of staying the cool indie band that, you know, you never have to worry that they're going to, like, go super huge and, like, everybody will know about them. Like, you can always sort of pull someone aside and be like, oh, well, have you ever read the Doom Patrol? And it's still, like, an evocative sort of secret thing. Mm. So that appeals to me.
I'm having that crisis with Suicide Squad because, to me, it's always been this very obscure little comic with, you know, C and D list characters, and you know, now it's a movie with Will Smith starring in it.
Yeah, yeah. They're going to take it away from you.
Yeah.
Now everyone's going to be cool like you, Paul.
Good luck to them.
So Chris, say that somewhere down the road you do get the opportunity to write the Doom Patrol. What would you want to add to them if you could add something?
Yeah, see, like, this is why I would fail at that job, because I'm just, it's like, I don't know. I definitely, like, would like more of the, even though, like, I still don't really understand what's happening in the issue, the issue that's all about Rebus, when the full alchemical issue where Rebus is transforming into the egg. Mm-hmm. Like I've read that issue 7 or 8 times. I still could not, like, and I know that there is a way to read that issue where you can understand it. But, I'd kind of want to get into stuff like that. And all this stuff about, I mean, I think why I attach so much to Morrison's run is that he like built these sort of huge things out of these small things. You know, this like idea of like Negative Man was just very much like, oh yeah, he shoots a black ghost out. Like, and he turned it into, you know, this alchemical marriage and like the Ouroboros and all this stuff. And with like, with Jane, like the whole thing about her underground and like how she organizes these traumas into, you know, a subway line, like, and that there are stations that you can't look at as you go through them. Like, you know, all these sort of like, you know, like one description on paper is like, oh yeah, she has multiple personalities and each personality has each power. And then like, but that like, that's not the thing that really drew him to it. It was like, what, it's character stuff. Like, so that's like, and that's the stuff I really like to do writing wise. So I would definitely like go more in that direction.
Well, I see that in your High Crimes, because your protagonist in that, Zan, is a very complex person and, you know, not your typical leading lady.
God, no.
Yeah, yeah. And that's, you know, that's why I like stuff like Doom Patrol, is, like, I like things with, like, characters that, you know, even if sometimes exaggerated, like, feel more on your level. Like it's hard to read, you know, Superman and be like, you know, oh, like, that's doable on any level. But, like, you know, you see, like, Cliff, like, coming to terms with, like, being trapped in this robot body and sort of, like, learning to make the best of it. Or, like, you know, Jane managing to integrate, like, one or two of her personalities. Like, that's, like, you know, this feels like the kind of superheroics that, like, I could actually achieve. In much different circumstances, but, you know. So, yeah, like, that's what I like about Doom Patrol, is that every character is, like, messed up in their own special way.
Mm.
Do you have a favorite character at all?
From the team?
Well, or a villain, or anyone in the book.
Yeah. I think from the team, like, Danny the Street.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know, like that. That I remember that being like one of the critical points of strangeness when I first read that run was just like, okay, like there's now this street that's just like, you know, a cross-dressing street that like just appears around the world and like.
Yeah, the X-Men never had that.
Yeah, exactly. Like that's just like that is a weirdness beyond par. And just like Danny's sort of like, Danny is the only like truly like positive, unflappable. Like even like Dorothy Spinner is like sort of posited as like, oh, she's the, you know, sort of seeing all the fun in like what is otherwise like a horrible situation. But even she gets like tainted. But Danny's always like, Danny's always Danny.
always like, optimistic Danny, and helpful.
Yeah, yeah. Like no matter, you know, you can burn Danny to the ground and like smash all of their windows, but like still gonna be like, no, like I still believe in people. Like I'm still gonna make Danny the world. But yeah, like otherwise, like the villains are always like, and it's always not even like Mr. Nobody, but like all the, it's always like his crew that he manages to assemble, like the two different squads, like. The girl who is her name Sleepwalk, like,
yep,
yeah, like I really like her, and you know the Love Glove or the Shove Glove, like it just like all those, yeah, like what would ordinarily just be throwaway characters, like are all sort of given these very singular origins, or yeah, maybe it's Harry Christmas, like he's sort of like the ultimate victim in all of Doom Patrol, like. You know, fights his way through, and then like they give him a specialized brain tumor. Like I don't know. Yeah, there's just so much to choose from.
You may like in the Giffen run, the most recent one, that Danny the Brick is featured.
What?
Danny the Brick.
Spoiler alert! What? Sorry, Chris.
No. Is it? Wait. So it's just a brick?
Yeah. Yeah.
What?
That's okay. It gets better.
I'm going to have to look this up afterwards.
Look what you've done now, Paul. Honestly.
I'm sorry.
These are things I do need to know. It's better that I learned about it from you guys on the street.
And do you have a favorite issue or a favorite arc?
That last issue is, or, you know, yeah, that last issue is like one of my favorite endings in comics ever. I mean, specifically, you know, the last two or three pages, which I only found out like after my last reread, that like all this stuff, the captions at the end are all taken from a song. And I can't remember what song it is now. I think it's like a Smith song.
I think it's a Smith song for, the Mind and the Brain issue with Miss Umela. That was titled after a Smith song. Yeah, that's slipped my memory, that one.
Yeah, the like the line about, you know, like the better world and all that stuff, like is apparently like a lyric from a song, which I never knew. I don't know about, I think the all the stuff with the and all this stuff gets jumbled in my head, but the whole, again, the storyline like involving the Pentagon and the phone company and the Tongs and like
the ant farm.
Yeah, like all that stuff is just like I don't know, just the way he structures it and everything, like where he talks about, you know, the transmissions from the Bermuda Triangle pilots and like I don't know, like it just something about that like hit all these little indie, like I love conspiracy theories, I love like ghost stories, and he like, yeah, he made a story about, you know, a sentient monster living in the bowels of the Pentagon, like built out of telephones, like into a legitimately scary thing.
There's so much blended into that story. It's, you know, it's like 8 X-Files episodes all at once.
Yeah, exactly. Or, you know, the apocalypse arc with the Cult of the Unwritten Book and the Constantine ripoff dude, who I love more than Constantine. Like, that guy is, like, where he's just walking around with a skeleton arm and he's, like, still throwing up, like... It's like, oh man, I wish Constantine was more like this. Like, So yeah, there's really like, and really the only, and I'll get raked over the coals by somebody for this. Really, the only issue of that run I don't like is the Kirby issue.
The Galactus tribute issue.
Yeah, like it just loses me. Like I can, you know, it's always the one that I skip. Like if I'm just not feeling it, and more often than not, I'm not feeling it. So yeah, that's just, and again, like that's one of my blind spots. It's just like, if I was brought up correctly in comics, I would have been all over that issue, but I was brought up like weirdly in comics. So it doesn't work for me.
No, there's no shame in homeschooling.
That's what it was, basically, yeah.
Anything else you want to add, Chris, before we move on?
I like the Doom Patrol. Like, yeah. No, I don't think I have... I feel like I should have like questions or something, like because I've been wanting to talk about this. I think I just wanted to like talk about how much I love Doom Patrol, though. So yeah.
What about that final question?
Oh, if you couldn't have a go at the Doom Patrol, what creative team would you like to see have a go?
Oh man, there's so many. Like art wise, there's so many people I'd love to see draw a Doom Patrol book. Like Alexa Zirit, who does Space Riders. Like, I think his stuff, like, he'd do a really, like, funky Doom Patrol. Writer-wise, I don't know who I'd really want to, trying to think. Like, yeah, like, Emily Carroll. Like, that's my, have you read that book, Through the Woods?
No.
She did them as like web comics initially, but they've all been put in a really nice book. Okay. But yeah, look her up, Emily Carroll. She does these horror stories, sort of, and they're very, like, very, very well done. Like, and I think it'd be interesting to see. Like, I'm sure she would have no interest, like, because her book is getting published by like a legitimate like publisher. Like, I think she's beyond caring about stuff like Doom Patrol, but
what?
I know it's a nasty, but yeah, I'd kind of like to see somebody's take, like somebody who's not overly familiar with the Doom Patrol, like somebody from a different medium. But I'm at a loss to say like who. Yeah, maybe like Lauren Bukes, who, she's a novelist, but she's done some she wrote like an arc of Fables, like one of those Fable spinoffs.
Okay.
But she's a South African author who does like sort of interesting futuristic type stuff, as well as like weird time travel and serial killer stuff. So yeah, I don't know.
Like, you see experimental people having the most luck with it.
Because it feels like, I don't know, if you hand it to anybody who's well-versed in comics, like, it's just going to be like, oh, well, this is a comics team. Like, I don't know. It feels like, yeah, in order to, like, do something new with Doom Patrol, like, you have to put it in the hands of somebody who it's brand new to.
Someone who doesn't know the rules.
Yeah, exactly. Like, and somebody who's not intimidated by what came before because they didn't read it, or if they did, like they're reading it, you know, to play catch up. Yeah, like I never thought I'd be the type of person who like speaks so like fawningly over a superhero book, but like, yeah, like that's why I love Doom Patrol so much, is that I feel very protective of it, and I want it. I only want good things to happen to the Doom Patrol. So,
you're one of us, Chris. You're one of us.
I am. I've just been out here in the wilderness waiting.
Yeah, this is a secret. We don't need it to come back to keep talking about it.
Exactly. Like, yeah. Like, you guys still haven't even like. Have you guys even like branched into like, you know, Doom Force or the Flex Mentallo mini?
Not yet.
No, we have a list, and it's going to keep us going for more than 2 years.
Well, if you ever want anybody to talk with you about Flex Mentallo, I will totally come back for that.
Excellent.
Fantastic. All right, we might wrap up Doom Splanning then. right. This week on the Mailbag of Doom, our question for everybody was, what's your favorite alien race, fictional or otherwise? And we heard from Michael K. Wheeler, who's at Mookie Wheeler on Twitter, and he said, Wookiees. Short and sweet answer.
We heard from Karthik Kakarala, who said it's got to be either Klingons, white people, or noise musicians. God, I love Karthik. He's the best.
He's so dry. We heard from Richie O'Hara Beamond at Rickety OB, and he said either Martians, as characterized by Ziggy Stardust, or the Urken race, in particular their renowned invader, Zim.
We heard from Moby One at Shmoby One, who said the Zamorans, and he's awaiting a slap.
They're the sexy chicks in Green Lantern. We heard from Will Fish, and he said also Martians, for example, HG and Orson Welles' terror-inducing tripods, Mars Attacks Big Brains, and Mission to Mars Proto-Humans. So lots of love for the Martians.
We also heard from Dr. Ange at Dr. Ange 70, and he said, as usual, too many choices. In literature, the Fremen from Arrakis, his Dune fascination strikes again. And in comics, he chose the Kryptonians, the Imskians, never heard of them, and the Tamaranians.
Imskians are one of the Legion of Superhero races.
Okay, that's why I don't know them.
Sexy girls.
Again.
We heard from Aaron Long at Juice005, who said Australians, though he's 40% sure they are fictional. Unlike him to give that type of answer.
Yeah, yeah. Back under your bridge, Aaron. Carl D. Smith at Carl Smith Writer. He said this is a crazy hard question, but if he has to say one, he'll choose Martians from Mars Attacks.
Wow. We heard from Sergeant Merica, who said, isn't Alf the obvious choice? What race was Alf? He was from Melmac. No, it's not the obvious choice. I think we can all agree.
We heard from our friend Rift at Rift1821, who said he agrees, Wookiees, but he thinks that female Twi'leks deserve a mention. Sexy alien.
Lots of people kind of think we said, which type of alien would you like it to bang or something? Anyway, I also heard from members of my family.
Ooh.
Sam, my wife, she said the fish man from Return of the Jedi, I think is Admiral Akbar.
They're called Mon Calamarians.
Yeah, that's Calamari. A good name, isn't it? That's a really sensible original name. So, she has a bit of a thing for Admiral Akbar. And she also said E.T. from the film E.T. Extraterrestrial. And we also heard from my son Lockie, who said Groot, which is a great answer considering how big Groot is now. What are you about you, Chris? Have you got an answer?
I like the one, the alien from The Thing.
Oh.
Oh, you stole my answer, bastard.
Well done, Chris. Well done.
Not that you'd want to bang that one, but...
No. But as a backup, I also like the pods from Invasion of the Body Snatchers.
That's also good.
I'll take the 1978 one if you want the 56 ones.
The Donald Sutherland?
Yeah, I'll take the Sutherland one.
Yeah, that's a great film.
It is.
What about you, Mike? I need time to think.
I'm going to be slightly boring and say the Klingons. There's just something about them that, they're a bit too humanoid compared to some other alien races. But I just love the fact that they're so honest and violent and all about honor and shit. And, they'll knock you down if it's what they feel is the right thing to do. So Klingons. They're awesome.
I've had time to come up with a backup answer because The Thing was mine. It's the last time we ever guessed. I really like the Zygons from Doctor Who.
Ooh.
Covered in suction cups, big orange banana heads. They're pretty cool. They're not practical, but they're cool. Q Okay, so moving on from that, we had a letter in the mailbag from Dr. Ange, and he's following up on our fairly awkward episode last week where we talked about the going underground issue. Mm. Mm. We were terrified of doing that episode, weren't we, Mike?
Just a little bit, yeah.
It's like we get into this to have fun and talk about light Doom Patrol stuff, and that's the heaviest thing we have to talk about. Anyway. Yeah. This is what Dr. Anne said. Thanks for devoting a whole episode to the Jane Underground issue, an issue that is so emotional that it's difficult to read and even more difficult to review. Amen, brother. But it's also so powerful and well done that it simply can't be looked upon as a simple epilogue to the painting that ate Paris and shoved into a show reviewing a bunch of issues. I was 20 when this book came out. It was an incredible time for comics as more and more mature themes were being played out. I was in college and was looking to branch out from simple superheroics, and this book and Animal Man and Hellblazer and eventually Shade the Changing Man were deep, moving and mature. In many ways, Doom Patrol is still a superhero book, a weird one for sure, crazy and deep, and smart, dropping in references to art and literature and mythology to make it richer. Still, despite all those layers, we still had one superhero team fighting another or defeating a murderous villain. I'm not going to downplay how special those first storylines are. I am saying that's this to point out that Going Underground was very different from the earlier Morrison Doom Patrol issues, and those were still very different from the usual books on the shelves. So even for the Doom Patrol, this issue hit me like a sledgehammer. Morrison unfolds it so beautifully. We start out like a regular superhero book, one hero astrally projecting into the mind of another. Then we hit the initial underground, and the geek in me was trying to see if I could recognize the different personalities, recalling if we'd met them before. But as I turned each page, as you hear more and more of Kay's story, as you go deeper into the underground, as you pass Miranda's station, too horrific to even be seen, the prison that Sylvia lives in, I knew we were going to head somewhere horrible, sickening, and terrible in a very real way. Of course, you get to the ending and see the father and realize what has happened, and it all makes awful sense. I cringed then and now. I said before in a prior email, it makes Jane screaming Dada while in the Fifth Horseman so poignant. It isn't the art school Dada, it is Dada. There are other parts that work. As you say, Cliff showing his sexless body makes sense for the story. She can feel safe, and Jane defeating her father is moving. This issue is powerful and uncomfortable, and I think that's the whole point of it. It is supposed to make you feel uncomfortable, but comics covering issues like this have to be done well, and thankfully Grant does it very well. I don't envy you both for covering this. These issues aren't easy. Thanks, Ange. Thanks, Dr. Ange.
Thanks, Dr. Ange. You are the man.
Yeah. Some good thoughts there. The one about the horse rider I hadn't thought of. Yeah.
Hmm.
Okay, everyone, I think that's it for this episode.
As always, you can reach us on Twitter at WFDpod. You can email us at waitingfordoom@gmail.com. And we've also got the Waiting for Doom Facebook page.
And where can people find you, Chris?
I am on Twitter most of the time at Xtop, X-T-O-P. And then, just find me on Twitter. Like, that's probably the easiest. And then
read High Crimes.
Oh, yeah, read High Crimes and all my other fine comic books. you like comics. And, yeah, that's hit me up on Twitter if you want to talk about Doom Patrol, because I'll talk about that anytime.
Awesome.
We'll definitely have to have you back on when we get to Flix Mentallo, Chris.
Doom Force.
Yes. Okay, so what's happening next week, Paul?
We're going to take a week off, sadly. We will be... Sorry. We'll be back the week after that for a look at the old stuff again, I think. Back to the 60s.
Yes.
Thank you, everybody. Thanks, Chris.
Yes, thank you very much, Chris.
Yeah.
And we'll see you all soon.
See you next time. Thanks, guys.
Deep in the cell of my heart, I really want to go. There is another world. There is a better world. I must live.